Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
The crowd was singing high.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Celebrate responsibly. It's Miller time, Philadelphia. Fritzy, how about it? It's the series of the season. We talked on Sunday and it was like a funeral march podcast. It was just we were like, maybe they can galvanize around this thing. We get that series, the hitting, the pitching, the dominant double digit runs, double digit strikeouts. It was like perfect. What a series. How you doing, pal? Just say it.
Burn the boats. So there is the things that I yearn for most in life
are yes, we know, bits and
no, it's that, like, that yo was for a regular season series.
Yeah, it's true.
Against the Mariners.
It's true.
The yo when this team wins the World Series this year is gonna is gonna hit, man. You might pass out. I hope you pass out.
I will just go until I can't go.
It's actually impossible for me to think about us doing a post World Series.
I know Phillies are World Series champions.
I know. But that felt like it.
It did.
For where this team was, there is nothing like a baseball season. Last Tuesday, they beat the Reds on Monday night, and people are like, they're different. Everyone feels it, right? We all agree they're different. By Friday, they sucked, and we are who they thought they were. Whatever. Sunday, Wheeler's not, done.
It's all over.
It's all over. Now we're having a moment.
Now we're World Series.
Now we're burning boats. I need boats outside the Schuylkill on fire, outside the, like, all of it. Doesn't matter. So do I need to explain burn the boats?
I think you do. Yeah.
Because I noticed one member of this podcast has not been on board with burn the boats yet.
What do you want me to do? I don't tweet at all. You want me to tweet out burn the boats? Would that make you happy? I'll tweet for you.
No, it's not that I need. It's just, I know it didn't originate on the podcast.
Well, sweetie, yeah, I honestly just see you tweeting burn the boats. I don't even know about it, really. I mean, honestly, it's disappointing that you wouldn't originate on the pod. You'd find the afternoon show a better place to bring that.
Well,
whatever.
If you know anything about me, didn't think of it until 5 minutes before the show. There was no thought process behind it.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting there on Monday, so we were at the Eagles Radiothon golf outing, and we're sitting there. And I was,
you were reading about Spanish American history and about, the conquistadors, and you were like, I got it.
Got an idea. No. So,
it's not where it came from.
So I was sitting there.
Not from history.
So I was sitting there. It did come from history.
Okay, good.
It did come from history. So I'm sitting there with Spike and I was like, dude, I think we should just come out with like a fired up, they're not dead yet, like, rally the troops kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what's the saying? Is it burn the boats? And Spike was like, there's no way you got that right at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, probably a good idea. Mm-hmm. I don't get sayings right ever. Mm-hmm.
Ever. You're ever. Really bad at them. Yeah.
It's part of the charm.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I think so.
So he looks it up. He's like, by golly, Jack, you got it right.
So there was no history. There's no contact. It was just like,
no, I knew the burn the boats thing was like,
no going back.
Yeah. No going back. No going back. Yeah. And the Phillies had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either going to fold after the Wheeler injury or they were going to burn the boats.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to rise above and they were going to say no retreat, no excuses, no surrender.
Uh-huh.
And what a freaking 48 hits.
Yeah, unbelievable.
48 hits.
Nonsense.
That's almost hard to compute.
Yeah, no.
It's almost hard to
nonsense.
Compute.
I mean, for all three starters, double digit strikeouts. First time in Philly modern history for the Phillies.
Most strikeouts by starters ever.
It was a 46 to 15 strikeout to like each team strikeout rate. Like Philly struck out 15 times. Seattle struck out 46 times.
Dude, they struck out all the time. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
46 times over three games. That's over 15 a game.
The big dumper took a big dump.
The big dumper. This, I was waiting for that. Big dumper in a big spot.
In a big spot.
Big spot. Big dumper took a big. I said that to Emily when it happened. Yeah, yeah, I was like, I had to. It was such a. How many people said, oh, the big dumper took a big dump there? Yeah.
Sick seat on the headlines in the newspaper. That's right. But yeah, they, all things considered, probably the best single week of baseball they've ever played in the history of the franchise. So, there's no way. They have played a better series
than
that.
Ben Davis this morning on the morning show said that he thinks this Mariners series is the best series they've played in 5 years.
Dude, it's the best series they've played in the history of the franchise. There is no way you can go back to another time where they had 48 hits in a series and set a record for strikeouts by the starting
pitchers.
You might
be right.
There's a zero. There's no way.
Yeah. And the Mariners are a good team.
The Mariners are definitely good.
Yeah. I mean, Logan Gilbert was freaking like a stud, comes in here, gets roughed up.
We keep going through these AL teams.
We are like mowing through the AL.
If the Phillies were in the AL, it wouldn't even be close.
It would be like that. We'd be the Brewers in the AL right now.
Gosh, you know? Oh well, we're gonna. It's the burn the boats era. So it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah,
and they're gonna lose eventually.
Oh well, yeah, you think so? You don't think they're just gonna run straight through the World Series now? This is that'd be a 2.5 months straight of like the Brewers,
I guess. So I think, because it kind of feels like Burn the Boats is like the uplift for a little bit movement. You know what I mean? Like, I would love for it to be an entire rest of the year thing, but I almost feel like this was a pick yourself up and now we go kind of thing.
Yeah, I got you.
A short spurt.
It's a quick little movement.
Yeah.
I like that.
But again, it could turn into a bigger thing. I do need Stubbsy back.
You think Jack's holding a Burn the Boat sign in October?
Who knows?
I mean, I will say that video yearbook, I mean, not that they would ever put you in it, but that does feel like something that would, you know, potentially. I mean, no, that's not fair. They would, you know, they would find someone else.
They would.
Some like the Philly, like lieutenant or something would be holding up a sign. And then they'd be like, oh, that guy did it. It was his idea.
How much more do I have to do to get to the Phillies video yearbook? Again, it's all I care
about.
You're
the only person who cares about it.
Me and
you
and Neighbor
Dan are the only two people on this planet who watch those things. And it's almost.
We count it down.
Like there
James.
Is no way. There is no way with how long this pod has been around. There's no way that no one involved with the video yearbook at any point has ever heard about your obsession with, like, at some point it's gotten into that building. It feels willful. It feels like purposeful at this point. Like, we're gonna keep you out of this on purpose.
They got Harris.
I don't like it.
They got Harrison Bader to keep me out of the yearbook.
That's true.
Throw me off the scent. So there's a lot of there. Listen, I Burn the Boats would love for it to be the rest of
it's
the
a good
year
one.
Theme.
It's a very clever one by you. Even if you didn't really know what you were doing in the moment.
I knew what I was doing.
Didn't know about the, you know, history of it and all that.
I knew the idea of
Are you a big fan of Conquistadors?
Absolutely not.
Say no.
Okay, so no.
Not a fan. Not a fan.
Official stance on the Conquistadors.
Not a great thing what they did.
Great.
Yeah.
So,
but
it did lead into this. So.
Sure, if you want to look at it that way, yeah.
And a lot of sports,
but it worked out because the Phillies.
And believe me, a lot of sports teams have used Burn the Boats. It's not an original thing. But I do need Garrett Stubbs dressed up in a Jack Sparrow costume in October,
standing on a burning boat.
In October, going around the clubhouse in a Jack Sparrow costume.
I guess you could pull that off,
dude. You got 100% pull it. There's one guy who can make Burn the Boats into a thing. It's Garrett Stubbs.
I agree.
So send down Marshawn, put Marshawn on waivers.
Yeah, we're
get him back up here. And let's go on a run.
Love
let's
it.
Go on a run. Let's
Love
burn
it.
Some boats.
Let's burn some boats.
A lot of confusion about
nice
burn the boats.
Wholesome way to leave. It's a nice wholesome message for the Phillies. Burn the boats.
Exactly right. Win it for Wheeler is much more simplistic and boring.
Yeah, win it for wheels is what I was going with.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that a million times.
You know, it's just what it is. Though,
simply
you know?
More serious now. It's simply more serious. But in all honesty, I think they needed something like.
Look, we talked about it. I think it's very clear, and it is interesting. We were talking about this on the air today, but I do think that, like, it's a little different with the specific injury that Wheeler has, where it's like, I think you can almost as a player be desensitized. Like, losing Wheeler for this group of guys would have hit them because they're, you know, they're losing their ace and all that stuff when he's been there. But I think losing him with the injury he had, it like almost makes you step back and, like, you know, gain a new perspective. You know, you step back and be like, oh, you know, like this could be taken away from me at any moment for any time, for any reason. You know, it's not just like I could ever have, like anything could happen to take this away from me. And I do think that that can, that is the kind of thing that can like, you know, really galvanize a group and change their perspective and make them like realize how finite this thing is and how few chances they really do have to do this. I mean, that, that is a real motivating, like, like if, you know, a manager could use that, like that's a, like a classic motivational thing, a classic thing to get guys running towards the same goal on the same page. Like,
yeah. Well, and I think it's one of the values of having a team that has been together for so long.
I agree.
Is they actually care about each other. I think they actually do.
I do. I think that, I think losing Wheels hurt, like if I think it hurt this group more than it would hurt a random team because of how close all those guys are and how long they've been together. I no doubt. I mean, part of that was part of what we loved about them the last few playoff runs was the camaraderie and the how much fun they have together and what a team they are.
Yeah. And I think the two guys that And I hope this is the case. No idea if it was the case or not. But the way they played, it looks like it was kind of the case. Was I? And this was the whole hope of the rallying cries was really about Harper and Schwarber.
Yeah.
And I thought Harp played with a lot of emotion, looked extra locked in, you know, and Schwarber obviously had another monster series.
What he does.
45.
Five RBI yesterday, no big deal.
And the moment where it really...
And Trey, like, shout out to Trey, too.
Yeah, but I think... But Trey's just
I agree.
So,
I don't think Trey's taking it on himself. I think the leadership, that gets, it's Harper and Schwarber. I agree.
And Trey's just so steady, you know, and another five-hit game.
Five-hit game, no big deal.
Yeah, added to the list.
Stealing bases. That triple, that was a double. Like, that was a double. Like, then he was just... automatically going for the triple immediately. Like he's something else.
Psycho watch. He knows. But at the moment where it really felt like they were extra into it was, I mean, the reaction to the JT home run. I've never seen JT look as even when he hit the home run in game one of the World Series, it didn't feel like that.
Yeah, I agree.
A huge vert, him and Harper, big moment there. I just, again, it was the exact response that you wanted to see from this team off of the Wheeler injury, because they could have taken their ball and gone home and said, well, what do you want us to do? We lost
our guy. Yeah.
And they didn't do that. And it really could have, a super, super negative situation, a bad situation, a real life situation could have been the thing that relocked this team back in and been the moment where they started playing their best. I mean, in 23, August of 23 was amazing.
Yeah.
And the ovations are, I think, were a big part of kicking that whole thing off. And that's why we felt like that was the year. And it should have been the year if game 6 and 7 didn't happen. But last year, they didn't have that. Like last year, they'd have.
Oh, no. At no point. It was the first 2 months of the season.
Dude, the whole second half of the year was just basically one big R-E-L-A-X. We're fine. Yeah. And then they weren't fine.
Yeah.
Whereas the Mets had the grimace and they had OMG and you
could definitely
feel it
flipped.
Coming.
It's definitely flipped. Like, I mean, the Mets might not make the playoffs at this point. Seriously. The Mets are fighting for a wild card a lot more than the Phillies are 6.5 games up today.
Yeah.
6.5 games up with 37 to play. We know anything could happen. 7-17 caveat. Mm-hmm. I get it. The Phillies are in damn good shape to win this division
next week.
And they're 2 up on the Dodgers, by the way, with for the second, which could be pretty important with the pitching thing now and not having to use the 4 starter and
Shohei Ripley.
Not having to use Taiwan instead of Nolan that game 4 start, you know,
exactly
which,
right.
You know, which is where I would do today.
Thank you for bringing it up.
How crazy is that? But anyway, good.
It won't happen.
No, it won't. But like, if you had to start one of those guys in a playoff game today, who would you start? No. It's an actual question. I don't know.
I would still start Nola.
I don't know. I might start Nola. I might. I don't know though.
All right.
Taiwanimus.
Yeah.
Taiwanimus.
How many bits? How many bits?
You seem to forget about Taiwanimus and the effectiveness of that bit that you just turned your back on, and yet it's the best bit you ever had. You didn't even know it. Turn the guy into a freaking like best fist starter in baseball, no big deal.
They always say in the bit world, it all comes full circle.
The bit world.
Yeah.
Dude, you know, in the bit forums that I'm on when we're really chopping it up on those bit forums, they always say that.
I have thought a lot about how funny it would be if everyone got anonymous masks and then put Taiwan's face on it. And we're standing in, like, that'd be the Taiwanimus fan club.
Yeah, like
bring back fan clubs. Jeans had a good moment. Now we have Taiwanimus.
Man, we're it's all just setting up for painters, and obviously, you know, and the Bob Everyone Ross
the,
thing. Yeah.
The Bob Ross
we're just
thing.
Like locked.
I got a lot of ideas. I got so many ideas.
Some might say too many.
So I got another one that I was going to save for the take back. Dude, if they could get Taylor Swift to remix Feeling 22 to It Feels Like 22. That could be the theme of the postseason.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know about you, but it feels like 20. I don't care. They got close enough. With the Phillies, that's what we do, baby.
Yeah, World Series, are you kidding me?
Close enough.
That's pretty friggin' neat.
So that's my three big ideas. Is Taiwanimus with anonymous masks with Taiwan's face on it.
I'm fully in on that one.
I need Garrett Stubbs in a Jack Sparrow costume.
Fully in on
with
that
a parrot
one.
On his shoulder. That would
fully
be great.
Fully in on that one, a live parrot.
And if you could talk to Jason Kelce, to talk to Taylor Swift, to remix I'm Feeling 22 to It Feels Like 22, I would appreciate that as well.
You've lost me on that one, yeah.
You don't, the only thing that can happen.
Let me text him right
hey,
now.
Hey, dude. Hey, she did sing the national anthem before That's game true. 3 in 2008.
It's true.
Remember your roots.
Yeah, well, she's a Chiefs fan. You got to remember that. You know?
I know.
You know what it is.
But she's
probably a Royals fan now. She's probably got a Bobby Witt jersey at home or something. You know,
dude, if she has a Bobby Witt jersey, that'd be respect. Crushing. But I'd also
get it. I would be give respect. Yeah. Like, damn, you're a real baseball fan. Yeah. I respect a lot. Yeah.
So,
dude, it's awesome, right?
A lot of ideas, a lot of positive vibes.
Yeah, you want to talk about Bobby and some defense? Dude, watch that guy.
He's great.
Defense.
He's great. But, man, I just... It's been a while since I've been able to say this. I'm so happy.
I know.
I'm so happy. I got up at 4:30 this morning because my...
I know. You texted me. I couldn't believe it. Lovely. I texted Jack about... what was it? It was something to do with the pod. What did I text you about this morning?
Well, you texted me about something else, but...
Oh, yeah. I did text you. Yeah. But that was something else. That was later. You texted me back immediately this morning. That was later. That other thing that we won't take.
The first thing you texted me was about what... We were talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, it was about Morgan Stein being in for both pods. And okay. All over it.
Yes. It was actually about how is the podcast going to get on the air?
Yes. That
with,
too.
With Justin.
Yes.
No, but yeah. So I woke up giddy even when Walker came in the room at 4:30 in the morning because he went to bed at 6. Mm-hmm. And all I thought about is how I wish they were playing tonight. And it's going to be belt to ass.
Oh, did you just went Eagles? He went Eagles.
Any chance I get to relate to the football team, I'll take. But they are going to. They got something. The Nationals got something coming.
Yeah, the Nationals. By the way, Nationals seemed to beat the Mets last night. How about it? It's so great. This Mets thing is really enjoyable.
Well, I was worried because it kind of righted the ship.
I know. I was worried. Like they might miss playoffs. Like right there now.
I'm not there either.
Look, let's put it this way. I think I would not be excited to see the Mets in a 3-6 matchup. I'm with you. Like, I do not. I would prefer the Mets not come here for a 3-6 matchup. We agree on that. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's get to some of the specifics. Can I also just say, though?
Yeah.
I think the Phillies are going to win the World Series.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
I think it's the first time all year that I actually believe it. Like,
one of us said it before the season.
You did. You said it from the jump. Like, this is the first time I truly believe. Like, this... Weekend.
I need that Mets series next week.
No, we got there's 6 weeks. I know the Mets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday against the Mets, 7-10 starts all minute. Yeah. And then we got the other. I mean, they got the Brewers coming, but the Brewers are winning the NL. It doesn't matter. The a month from now is the other massive series, the 15, 16, 17 September Dodgers in LA. The Phillies 1, 2, or 3, but that actually could be massive with the 2 seed and the tiebreaker.
Dude, I can't believe there's 35 games left.
Yeah, 37 games left in the season.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right with my mouth?
You're probably right. Either way, I can't believe there's 37 or 35 games left.
There's not many games left. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, I think it's 37, but we could do
that. You're probably right.
There's 74 and 50 something. 53. So it's a 7. So yeah, I'm right.
Okay.
Good. I think I'm right. Quick math.
I'm not doing math right now.
We got Justin. I might be wrong, actually. No, that's a 7. It's a 5. No, I think you're right. I think it's 35. Hold on. He's doing it real quick. Yeah, you're right.
I saw someone else's tweet this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, I was trying to do quick math, and that's at the 5. I was like, yeah, you're right. 35 games left.
I know. Which means so close to October, which I'm excited about, but also very nervous about. There's simply nothing I need more
for them to go on a run. I'm dying to be back at the park. Like, I am. I like the intro in the playoffs. I know we've talked about it, and it's like, you know, cliches are cliches for a reason. Like, it's one of those things where sometimes things are just true for a reason. Like, you can't say it enough. The Durantula thing in October is going to be, it's going to be like one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. I feel like it might be one of the coolest things I've ever been part of, like in person for.
That, and
I'm going to the Best Fish concert. You know what I'm saying?
And I just remember my other idea.
Yeah.
That is going to be, that could set CBP ablaze. Mm. But if Wheeler comes out.
So that's the number one. When it wouldn't be till it'd have to be the World Series. Like it really would. Like in terms of like 2.5 months, like that. 2 months. They say 3 months. Because you know, most likely.
I'm just talking about a first pitch,
dude. That would bring it down. I thought you were talking like bring him out of the bullpen for an inning in October.
That is like best case.
That's like melt the stadium to the ground. Yeah,
it's over. Good luck to whoever the Phillies are playing because you have no shot. But the.
First pitch. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
If for some reason he's announced done for the year.
Yeah.
Whatnot,
yeah.
Like that's going to be a moment. That's going to be a moment. Because the Reese moment was great.
Yeah.
It was the Marlins.
But we had talked about if they had gotten the World Series that year, like,
you Reese was there.
Yeah.
Reese was there.
And what it would be like if he said that. All right.
Schwarber made it back for the World Series in 16.
He did. You're right.
Towards ACL.
A little different, but you know.
Very different.
Very different.
Very different.
All right, let's talk some baseball.
Yeah, a lot of baseball.
We are talking a lot.
There's a lot of baseball to talk about.
There really is. There's stuff to talk about. I want to start with the outfield thing, because I think that's the most interesting thing going on outside of the, you know, galvanizing Wheeler thing. Shout out Thompson. He's been sitting Nick Castellanos pretty consistently. Was asked after the game. He basically said, hey, whichever of these three guys hit, they're going to play. Like he was like,
finally.
Yes, exactly. Finally. Talked about important defenses. We all know Kepler, a way better defensive right fielder than Castellanos. Nice catch by Cassie yesterday. But in general, what do you make of this whole thing? Because we know, I think the Castellanos has said the right things now. A little weird the way he said it. Yeah, I think that. You know, I think he's like come as like close to not saying the right thing while staying above the line.
Well, the one thing I was disappointed in yesterday about, like he completely threw Bader under.
Well, that's what I didn't like. He's like, oh, I got to frustrate Bader. I hated that.
Bader's been here for a second. Like he's just getting used to the clubhouse, and now he's just deal with the right fielder saying that he's frustrated. And now
didn't love that.
Well,
yeah, and he threw it on Topper. He's like, well, he told me he's frustrated. So now you got Bader thinking Topper is telling Castellanos that he's frustrated, which is like a whole other thing.
By the way, it's a one-on-one conversation with the manager that he's making public.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. Maybe not saying in terms of like he has not gone overboard with it being like, screw that guy, I'm really pissed off. But you know, look, we know that he took Nick out in Miami. Nick got PO'd about it. We know that.
Yeah.
And he never did it again until now, and like refused to take him out of a game late inning situations again.
Well, so, he's got a banged up knee.
Which was such a BS. Since the Yankees game, he's really had banged up. Okay, buddy. And then right after, he's like, no, he's fine. But you know, just a little, what do you make of the whole thing?
Well, the super hard veteran stadium like turf and Globe Life Field.
Oh, yeah.
Who could forget that? So, he's probably the wrong guy to do it with, but they don't have a choice.
He's too bad.
There's no way he's going to handle this well. He can do it for right now, but there's just no way. So I think it could be a good thing. Like, I think a PO'd Casty could galvanize him.
Better than the Casty we've been getting. I mean, it can't be much worse.
The nice part about what Thompson's doing is like he was starting to come out of it. He's been hitting the ball better recently.
Since that tank shot.
And he's still committing to like, we're gonna keep going with this platoon thing. Kepler's hard hit rate in August is over 50%.
Kepler's looked good. Yeah. Like you could see it. It annoyed me when he was like, well, my whole career I've gotten unlucky. It's like, bro, come on.
He has a little accountability.
Yeah,
I've heard him say that a couple of
times. It's annoying. It's like, no, like that just probably means who you are, who you are. But he has hit the ball really well in August.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's just the best thing for them. Now, Cassie's not going to just play against lefties because there's not enough lefties to make that a thing.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be in there against some righties. So it's not going to be a true lefty righty platoon. I am glad. I hope this leads to Bader getting the lion's share in center field. Like let him just take the job and
I would say all the share out there and personally, but yes.
Yes. Marsh, I still want to play against lefties, but against righties, he's doing his job. So you obviously don't love the idea of having a platoon at every single outfield position, but for this team, and really, it's kind of the way baseball is trending now because it feels like no lefties can hit lefties anymore.
Unless you're Kyle Schwarber
and Bryce has done a good job against lefties. So it's just kind of the nature of the sport now where you might as well just platoon out there and try to get the best version.
You're a buffoon if you don't platoon.
That's the title of a podcast. You're a buffoon if you don't platoon. But it sort of reminds me of the, you know, high leverage arm argument in the bullpen where we got so used to starters going forever. And then it was like, well, third time through, or get the best reliever in that's fresh. Why wouldn't I just go to the best reliever that's fresh? Kind of feels like we're experiencing something similar with hitters, because they just, there's such a lack of an ability to me of lefties being able to hit lefties. So,
and statistically, it's the numbers bear it out.
Yeah. Again, watching the Mariners against lefties this week.
Oh my God.
It was like, I mean, the Raleigh at bat, not Raleigh, well, Luke Raley.
Oh, yeah. No, I was like, he's a switch hitter.
I know. JP Crawford was horrible against lefties. Yep. I don't forget. It is funny. He was like our guy.
Oh, yeah. He was our top prospect. Yeah, he was like the hope at a certain point.
And I know he's won a couple gold
gloves. He's had a nice career. I think he's been for what he was, he is a successful story. For what he was.
It is funny. There's never like a yearning of JP Crawford.
We don't miss it. But he's had a nice career. Like, he's been
of all the guys they've given away, he's been probably the best one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's kind of where the sport is trending. Is situations like this. I mean, we talked about the 21 Braves where they basically platoon their entire outfield as well. So it can work. Would like to just have great hitters and great fielders in the outfield. We're not going to get that. But it's good to see at least, you know, Bader get some hits yesterday, and hopefully he can just take that job.
I think the funnier thing is we never really thought about the JP and then doing it again with another cross.
I know.
I never put together, which is really funny. I never thought about that specific thing. That's all right, Carl, bring your kids along. We'll take them all.
Now, JP's
related, not guy. He's a nephew or whatever he is, but still the whole family. I never thought about
all
that.
The
Crawfords. Yeah, it's really funny.
All the Crawfords.
I'm with you. And look, I mean, I'm at the point where, you know, if you told me you have to play three guys, I would play Kepler every day in right field over Castellanos. Personally, I know that they're
Did get a hit off a lefty, yesterday?
And look, he's a much better right fielder than Castellanos is. And, like, he's just been hitting the ball better, you know, flat out across the board. And I just have so little. And look, we know Castellanos is the type of player where we have seen him look this bad and then a switch can flip and he can go on a run and have a big play. Like, we've seen him at big playoffs. Like, we've seen it.
Well, he was the second best hitter in the Mets series.
Dude, he did something. Yeah. Him and Harper were it. Mm-hmm. And he and Reggie Jackson stand alone. Like, he has had playoff moments that people dream of, you know, like, so it is
another Philly tying Reggie Jackson postseason record.
Yes, right.
First it was Utley, and then it was Cassianos. I mean,
but it is wild to think about, you know, he really is one of those.
Well, and you can still make the case that the best version of this team is with him.
Of course it is. Without a doubt.
You can't just bury him.
Yeah.
You can't bury him. You have to see if he can work his way out of it. But you also cannot. I mean, with the way that Kepler is hitting, I think he's what, 283 in August.
Yeah.
You can't just place him on the bench either. You know? So Thompson, he's done a good job of
it. I agree with you.
With the platoons, like, he seems to have that magic touch, and Weston Wilson getting big hits. But
yeah, he doesn't. Is that a magic touch?
If these guys start taking a downturn, who are the ones that he's going to go into war with?
Yeah.
And I think that will still be Castellanos.
I generally agree with you. And I'm
surprised that Sosa didn't play. I know Stotts. So Stotts
been
really
awesome.
Well.
And I will say that, and just to move on from the Cast thing, I agree with you. And ultimately, I think Rob's done a really good job with this mixing and matching thing. And I think it'll kind of play itself out. But it is something to watch, and it is like a, especially with the Castellanos part of it, a potential issue for the playoffs. The Stott thing's fascinating because we actually got some tangible information. You know, we've been wondering all year, and I made a mechanical change, and it's like, you know us right here, whether it's a pitching mechanical change, a hitting mechanical, we are suckers for a mechanical change. But look, I mean, the numbers have borne it out. I mean, it's batting like .299 since the All-Star break, I think. He's batting 356 in August. Had the homer a couple games ago. That double was great at bat.
Yeah.
He just looks more comfortable at the plate. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, is it real? Is it not? When you hear the mechanical change and you realize what it is and what he did, like, it's like, it makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, and I like the quote too. He's like, I just stopped thinking about left field.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Like, cool.
You're not doing anything over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's meaningless.
And we don't need your little weak pop flies to left field.
Yeah.
So, it's funny. His setup just looks like Cesar's. He just looks like Cesar's used to look. Not the same walkout song.
Nope.
Dude, Cesar's walkout song was truly depressing, actually.
Yeah.
It's for only the sickos that listen to this podcast. If you remember Cesar's walkout song, it was captivatingly horrible.
Yeah,
it was a
horrible, really bad.
It was really bad. Cesar, good player.
Yeah,
Cesar was a good player and a horrible team.
Yeah, like, he had a nice career. Cesar was a solid
big leaguer. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, lowered his hands to help get on top of the baseball because when his swing gets loopy, he starts swinging the pool noodle. He's excruciating.
He stopped with the waggling. Yeah, which is good.
You need that kind of stuff. The one thing that I found kind of annoying with I think Gelb wrote about in The Athletic today is like they wait until they don't want to make adjustments in the middle of the season or whatever.
Isn't that the whole point of adjustments?
He was hitting like 200. Yeah,
what are we doing, guys? What are we doing?
Hey, you want to try something different?
No, let's just keep sticking.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's a really weird thing to say.
The whole thing this year was we're going to get on top of things before they turn into big deals. Well, whatever. So, Stott looks great. And him being in the nine hole,
it's like two leadoff hitters, man. People forget he was the leadoff hitter for the first month of the season.
And he's not taking the most important at bats in ball games, exactly. Which is fine. And he's doing his job at the bottom of the lineup. He's turning it over
for the top.
And he's letting them see a lot of pitches right before you get to Turner and Schwarber and Harper, which I think is really valuable. Having him down there is valuable. So I'm very, very happy with Stotter. Sosa, though, has obviously played well. Now they didn't face a lefty starter, so that's probably why he didn't play. And Bohm's obviously back. And listen, I get annoyed with Bohm, and I'm not the biggest Bohm guy. But him, at least in the middle of the lineup, does lengthen it.
Oh, he's better than what they had. I mean, like Otto Kemp, you'd much rather have Alec Bohm than Otto Kemp. It is what it is.
Looking good at first base last night for the Pigs.
Oh, buddy.
Tell you what, you know what's a problem for everyone? When Walk goes to bed by 9, and I can just watch the Pigs from about 9 to 10. That is a
problem for everyone, I agree.
You want to talk about Ryan Cusick?
Yeah, nope, I don't. I mean,
look at the third inning last night. But the first two innings, very interesting. I'm obsessed with finding the next Hoffman. Like it's not Nolan Hoffman. I thought it was Nathan Hoffman, honestly.
I think it's Nolan.
Okay, yeah, Nolan. Okay. It was even Fransky came back from break and he's like, it's not Jeff Hoffman. Okay, it's not. But I'm obsessed with the next, so that's why I cannot wait for Matt Manning. Because Matt Manning could be him.
We talked about it.
Yeah. And by him, capital H. So but Matt Manning, Ryan Cusick, all these guys, man, for a first
so
round
exciting,
pick,
man, so exciting, dude. I like pedigree.
Cusick's got a fastball.
Yeah,
he's got a real fastball. Good,
that's important.
I know they beat the Mariners in sports.
How did we get all? Why don't you
know? I get it. They
mentioned Otto Kemp's name, and all of a sudden we're spending 5 minutes on the Pigs. Again,
he looks great in an Iron Pigs uniform.
He sure does. Sure does. It really fits him well. Yeah. He fills it out nicely.
I still like Otto.
I do too. But the point is, it's an upgrade bringing Bohm onto the roster, and it makes a difference.
To give him credit, there was times where I thought he was trying to lift and launch and
take the ball. Homer in the first game back. Yeah,
just missed a couple. Mm-hmm. So him at least being there, it does give them another real hitter. Mm-hmm. So where like the bottom of the lineup, another
professional hitter.
Oh, well,
ooh,
that could be debated. But it does give them a semi-real bat in the middle of the lineup.
I agree.
And lets the bottom of the lineup kind of just cook. And I don't know, man.
Stott thing is so big. Like the bottom of the lineup cooking like that, like Stott hitting at the bottom of the lineup makes such a difference. It can change everything for this team. Like the point is I do trust Turner. I mean, particularly Harper and Schwarber, but Turner as well heading into the playoffs. As like they have to be good. Like there's no world where those guys don't play well and they still win the World Series. But like that's not gonna be enough. Like you're gonna need Stott to come through. You're gonna need a Marsh to come through. You're gonna need a Cassie moment or a Bohm moment or a JT moment. Like some of those guys are gonna have to have moments.
Well, listen, the talking points about this team, we've all gotten. No, I've started getting nauseated to the point.
I'm tired of it.
It's like everyone says the same thing.
We get it. They have to hit in the playoffs. Don't chase them. It's like you almost have to say when you talk about the players, like caveat, assuming they don't chase, or we all know what killed him. You know, like it's like I know. It's like I'm so tired of it. If I never talk about chase rate again, I'd be the happiest person ever.
The bats are gonna go hot. Bats are gonna go cold. They're Jekyll and Hyde. I get it. Holy cow! Welcome to baseball. I don't know what to tell you. So, but like everyone says, the stars have to be stars. And while I agree, Ryan Howard didn't hit a home run in 2008 until game 3 of the World Series. You know, like Utley didn't do much until he had the home run off of Lowe and the home run.
Jeff
game
Jenkins
one.
And Pedro Feliz had the two most important hits in the deciding game.
You need Worth. You need your Worth moments. You need your Victorino moments. You need your Pedro Feliz moments. You need your Bruntlett walk off. It takes everyone. Like it does. I understand the adage, the old adage of your stars have to be your stars, and they can't be zeros. Schwarber went one for the Met series with the home run. Can't happen. And I think the thing that's been so encouraging, I do think that they're taking it on themselves. I think those guys are saying, you know, our guy's down. It's on us. It's on the stars, which is great. But it takes a village to win a World Series. And the stars, I get it. But man, like everyone has to have their little moments.
Yeah, I'm fully agree with that. I think it's imperative. I think it's the only way they win. And I'm starting to believe that those guys will have moments like Bryson Stott. You know, a month ago, I would have said, we talked about like not just platooning Sosa. Like, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, in the playoffs, I might just start Sosa every game. Like, I don't trust Bryson Stott at all, to the point where like I think Bryson Stott could have a moment and like a meaningful moment.
Now,
for this team in the
he is outside of the World Series in 2022. He's a moments man.
He's a moments man.
Yeah,
the grand slam, the triple. Yep, the triple, of course.
Last year, the triple
again. The double in the Strider game before the bat slam.
People forget the Stott double.
That's what I'm saying.
They forget the Stott double in the Braves game. I still think the first one of the loudest pops of the last couple of years was the Stott double.
Yeah, because the first run was first, you know, the whole thing. Can we get back to
come on.
Bang? Let's go.
Come on.
I'm the juices are.
I know. I'm trying to like.
It was only 35 games. I've spent the whole morning thinking it was 37. I got two less. I'm that much closer.
I'm trying to slow it down.
Yeah,
October,
I know. Because it feels like.
All I'm thinking about right now is it feels like they're going to go on a run again. And that's a dangerous spot to be.
It's a dangerous spot to be.
Especially 35 games left.
Yeah, too many games.
Because like, does now count as peaking too early still? Or is this peaking at the right time?
Well, it's three games. So I don't know if we want to say they're fully peaked yet.
They've had 48 hits.
I think this would be a little early. You know, I think you want to peak more towards September.
A lot of season left.
I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, we always talk about. We look at that 2022 team and this reverential thing. But, you know, we hated them at the end of the season. You know, we were just talking with Elliot with the last pod where we came up where it's like, I mean, Joe Giglio said he didn't want them to make the playoffs. It's like they don't deserve to make the playoffs.
He's a bad guy.
It was a mistake. He was wrong. But the point being, like Joe and John said, don't celebrate it for me. The point was that like we forget how quickly it can kind of like turn on a dime like that. So like when do I want them peaking? In October? That's my answer.
I just love all the things people roll out there.
Oh, it's so
of
good.
When it matters
so
versus
good.
When it doesn't.
So
matter.
Good. So good.
They were horrible in 22.
Horrible.
Horrible.
They won 87 games.
They were hot in 23.
Yeah.
Like it. Doesn't matter. It really does not matter. And I know. We truly have no idea until game one of the postseason. We have no idea.
I feel good about the group.
Yes.
I feel good about the way, like whether or not they're able to sustain this, like we talked about, they'll lose three or four at some point. There will be a series where they score two runs, like, or whatever it is. Like, we know that it's not going to be perfect at the end of the season, but I do think the way they've reacted to this, and to your point, I think it was a good point to bring up, to the way they've talked about it too. Like the way Bryce, the way Trey, all these guys have, like, it's on us.
It's like they heard the messaging.
Yes. It's like everyone has to be a little better. Yes. Everyone has to do a little more. And like, that's so like, just the way they've reacted to this moment, to this, you know, sad thing happening for them, for their team, for their chances, has this alone has given me so much more belief in this group, the way they've handled this, no matter kind of how long this specific moment lasts. The way they have handled this has told me something about them.
Well, and I think that it also has. I think the Duran move originally re-energized the fan base.
And 100%.
And then they went.
And the team.
I agree. And then they went through a little down period. But I think that this thing also re-energized the fan base. I think the fan base went into the ballpark the two nights. Yesterday was rainy, cold, whatever. But the two nights and said, we're behind you too.
Yeah, like, we're burning the boats also.
We're all burning boats.
There's a huge bonfire of boats out here, all right?
Come on, man. Just get a big boat in center field, light it on fire. Hey, come on. Imagine that moment.
I'm sure the Philly Fire Department.
It's fine. So there's a lot of moments. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things going on. What a time. What a time.
I agree.
I don't care that it's a Mariner series in August.
I know.
It means more.
It does.
It means
it does.
More.
It does. All right, take back.
So where's your... your faith meter. on these, rank these.
Okay. Three. I love this. Okay. Love this. Love it.
How would you rank your faith in Ranger and Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Are they as one or this is the first?
Because, all right. So I think Sanchez, Sanchez is money.
Yeah. He's our ace right now. Yes.
By the way, like, good first test for all the weight on his shoulders.
Hell yeah, dude. I feel the same way.
Big stuff there. Ranger and Jesus being good. The bullpen and the lineup.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so Sanchi is like, oh, we're good.
Sanchi's good.
One. Okay,
and Duran is good. You don't have to worry about Duran.
This is fascinating. So Duran doesn't count as the rest of the bullpen.
Not really, because like, I think you have a good idea of who he's going to be. It's the other guys.
Okay, so bullpen will be last then if we're taking Duran out of
okay.
it.
Okay. Interesting.
The person I trust most is Ranger, just as of himself, individually, as a person in the playoffs. I trust Ranger. I mean, Harper too, but I'm saying that's a unit. That's the lineup. So I'm saying the one thing I trust Ranger. Lizardo, I don't know. He's looked good. Five straight, really good starts. I'm kind of buying into this lineup thing, man. I just feel like it's a ridiculous
thing.
I trust the lineup
like
in the playoffs.
You're gonna regret.
Okay, my gut,
like a mistake.
My gut says lineup, but I'm gonna go. I trust
so
Ranger.
Lineup one.
No. I'm going against my gut. I'm gonna say I'm trusting Ranger and Lizardo one.
Yeah.
Lineup two, bullpen three. Again, no Duran. If Duran's in the bullpen jumps to number one. That's
totally.
A big Duran.
Because I think we know the studs, right? You know, Sanchez stud, Duran stud. Lineup, like, I just think there's so much
question marks. Yeah. Like, but we know that Schwarber's a stud, Harper's a stud, Turner's a stud. We think.
If I changed it to 5-9.
Yeah. No, then that would be last.
Okay.
Definitively.
Okay.
Like, no question. Like, the same thing with like the bullpen Duran thing. Like, you take the, yeah. If you give me 5-9, least confidence by far. Like, it dropped. My answer is fully based on trust in those top three guys in the lineup.
So Ranger Lizardo.
Rangers are
5-9, and then bullpen.
Well, no, now bullpen, bullpen two, 5-9. Yeah, it's only because of the.
It's a good thought exercise.
It is a good thought. You're right. It's a fascinating thing. How would you do it?
So right now, I'm buying a lot of the bullpen.
Yeah,
I really am.
I'm excited. We talked about. I think Robertson looks way better than he ever looked here before. I trust.
He's on the Clemens model.
He looks great.
Yeah, he looks great. I know the home run happened yesterday. He hung a pitch. It happens.
Yeah, whatever.
By the way, that Julio home run was crazy.
I can't believe he hit it out.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like a Vlad one. It felt like Vlad. That ball was like almost in the dirt and he just went down and whoop.
If Julio Rodriguez could ever figure out how to hit in the first half, because I've owned him in fantasy for four years and he sinks me every year. But like, if he could figure out the first half,
yeah,
he's the best player in baseball.
He's so awesome. And he's a joy to watch. Like, he's one of those guys who like, he's always smiling. He's always having fun. Like, he's one of those guys who it feels like he's like appreciating the fact he's playing kids' game. I love Julio Rodriguez.
You can also get lost in his eyes.
He's beautiful eyes.
Beautiful
man.
Eyes.
Magical
just
eyes.
Just unbelievable.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Just unbelievable.
You're dead right. Yeah.
So I'm buying a lot of the bullpen stuff. I think Roberts is good. Strom rounding into form. It's funny. Like, it's now Joe Ross is a long man. So whatever. But it's really just Romano. Like, that's it. And that could change in the next couple of days. I mean, he could be DFA'd.
Yeah.
So then they just Ryan Kusick. But the that's what I was watching last night. I want to see if there's anyone. Bet. I'm obsessed with finding one person in Lehigh Valley I trust that could get big outs.
What about Griff?
So I think there's an outside chance.
I mean, he's been awesome lately.
Well, I think the thing with Griff could be if they wanted. Now, this is a big leap. But his stuff's not double-A stuff. He's got big league stuff.
Yeah.
If they wanted to try the six-man thing, just to extend starters, maybe that's where they get the... But I think at least try them in AAA for a start or two. I don't know. So we'll see. But the lineup stuff, I'm still mostly in. I got to see it to believe it. I think I'm going to be that way
until the playoffs. Look, it is what it is. It's exciting. I love what we're seeing. But I feel like even if they hit the rest of the year because of the last couple postseasons, until we see them do it with consistency, not chase, because we know that teams are pitched differently in the playoffs. Like, pitchers are going to attack the Phillies differently in the playoffs than they have during the regular season. And every pitch is going to be like, look, like it or not, like in a regular season, like a pitcher's locked in, but like you're a different kind of locked in for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Every pitch is matters so much more that you're just going to get their best stuff.
Yeah. Well, and what was frustrating about the beginning of August, really before the, I think they had a meeting before the national series that we're straying away from what we've been doing all year. But before the national series, they were right back to the chase rate stuff. Mm-hmm. They're right back to where they've been.
Yep, you're right.
The strikeout rate was up and the walk rate was up. What we've seen since, I mean, they are grinding starting pitchers into the ground. I mean, they got all those. I mean, Miller went a little bit longer, but he threw 50 pitches in the first three innings, I think. They got Gilbert out of there early. Luis Castillo out there. So they're doing a good job of grinding pitchers. Like, if they can just, they can't let it get too far away, but there is a winning formula here. Bryce, I think one big thing he's been doing is he's just taking the walks. Mm-hmm. He has to get back to just taking the walks. Big His time. Walk rate before, I think, the National Series was 3%.
It's crazy.
Which is it's Bryce at all.
Insane. His whole career is taking walks.
But he has to trust his teammates.
Yeah.
He has to trust his teammates because, yeah, it's a whole pass the baton thing. So there is makings of them being a good offense. I'm probably never going to be there.
I get it. No, I think that's fair. I think it's fair.
Ranger, I'm still, I just.
But do you agree that no matter how he looks now, you trust him more in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Comparatively? Because
I do.
Like, even last year, and he is much better today than he was last year at this time. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like he really fell apart last year. Even last year, and I know it was a high wire act, but he gave him 4 2/3 shutout baseball in a playoff start. Like, it's not ideal. You want him to go deeper. You want it to not be as difficult to walk as many guys. But, like, it felt like Ranger was bad heading into that playoff start. And even then, he found ways to get outs in a big spot. Like, I trust the guy in a big spot. Like, I just do.
And I'm growing faith in Jesus Luzardo. I thought yesterday there was a big moment after the Bohm error where it could have crumbled on him. And he got Raleigh and Julio out back to back, which is, I think, big for his confidence. It's kind of hard to like demonstrate or whatever, but they've gotten him to a spot with the stretch where it's able to emulate his windup by having his front leg closer to the third base side. It's where it gets the swing.
Sure.
So it looks just like his windup pretty much, but it's out of the stretch. So I think that's been a big key for him. And velocity's down a little bit, but I think he's more in the zone and he's attacking
hitters more. Purposeful is the point. Not as much of a dead arm, but more of like a kind of his purposefully
it's the Sanchez model.
Control. Yeah,
it's Chris Sanchez exactly model.
Right. Worry about control.
And I do think I got to look at the numbers. I keep meaning to look at the numbers. I'm mad at myself for not looking at the numbers. But eye test, I think they've gone away from the four-seamer, which gets blasted, and they've gone more to the sinker with him. So Luzardo, I'm buying. I'm pretty excited. Now. We're back in on Jesus.
Yes. Finally, this pod needed that.
Yeah. So a lot of faith meters. Speaking of starters, I think one thing they're going to do if they're not going to go to the six man, which they likely won't do unless they call someone up, because the Wheeler thing obviously ends that. But I think we're going to see more of is Rob Thompson pulling starters with 85 to 90 pitches rather than letting them go.
And well, that was something we didn't talk about, but people got annoyed with the Sanchez thing, and that was crazy to me. Like, it was in 96 pitches, and the only time we've seen Sanchez struggle was after the complete game. Like, it's like, what are we doing here? Especially after Wheeler going down, it's like, shouldn't we be even more careful with Christopher Sanchez?
And you got a fully rested bullpen.
Yes, you're going to Ryan Kirkering. Like, sorry, he's supposed to have been awesome for you this year. Like, you can't, like, he didn't have it that day. Like, whatever, that happens.
This is a PSA. This is a PSA for the rest of the season.
I'm getting so annoyed with the topper decision. Yeah, go ahead.
PSA for the rest of the season. Sometimes Rob Thompson has to know what he can go to in October versus not. And if it might cost them a game. It might cost them a game. But it's research. Like, part of right now with the kind of cushion they have is research. Knowing who he can trust versus who he can't trust. And I mean, it's a classic example of that to me was obviously last year in the Mets series in London where he goes to Soto over Alvarado and Soto totally. Blew up. Part of what is happening right now is you have to decrease workload on the starters. You have to see which bullpen pieces you can trust. Mm-hmm. These are more high leverage-ish type situations. And it almost cost him a game on Tuesday night. But you got to do it. These starters have to be fresh heading into the postseason, which was going to happen if they went to the sixth man. They're not going to do that unless Painter can figure it out.
Right.
Or maybe they call up Griff. They're not going to do it for Alan Ronhell, I don't believe.
No, so, yeah, I think so.
So, like, it kind of just is what it is. And I think you have to get used to it And if it costs him a game, it sucks. But also, you got to figure this stuff out now so it doesn't come back to bite you in October.
No, I totally agree with you.
That's my PSA.
Yeah, and you're correct. You're absolutely correct. And even then, forgetting that part of it, like that specific situation, like I would be fine with it no matter what. Like Christopher Sanchez was at 96 pitches. It's not like he was at 86 pitches.
And he walked
like,
a guy.
And he walked a guy. Like, and again, you have a rested bullpen with your guy who was your closer, your best reliever, your go-to guy until you got Duran, like your second best reliever. Like, you got to trust that guy to come in and get the outs. Like, you're up 4-1. You're up 4-1, too. It wasn't like it was 2-1.
I know. And final thing, post-trade deadline, Aiden Miller is still a problem.
Now look, every prospect ranking is different, but ESPN, Kylie, 10th overall ahead of Painter. It's the first time we've seen him ahead of Painter really on these lists. 10th overall for our guy, Aiden Miller. Oh, baseball. Are you kidding me? A hitting prospect? Let's go, dude.
Makes me a little nervous. I know.
If it were up to you, he'd be dropped down and take the pressure off. And
in August, he's hitting .338.
I can't wait.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Kylie's got some crazy opinions, man.
Kylie has some aggressive opinions. Yeah. I met Kylie once. I was like, really? Like 14 years ago.
Wow.
When I went to the baseball winter meetings, you know, I went to the baseball winter meetings a long time ago. Have I ever told you this?
Are you trying to get a job?
I was. I almost worked for the Bowling Green baseball team in Kentucky. I thought about it. Emily and I talked about moving to Kentucky to work for the Bowling Green baseball team. Yeah. Like 15 doing years ago, whatever it was when I was getting in the business, I ended up doing radio and going that route. But I thought about, so they, to eat, it was going to do sales because I had sales background at the time, but he said he was going to let me do the seventh and eighth inning of games. So I was going to announce the seventh and eighth inning of games while doing sales, but it was just to be around the sport. I was coming from non-sports. So it was just to be around sports, to be a part of the team. I didn't want to be a play-by-play guy, but it was just an opportunity to get in somewhere. So, because I knew someone who knew him, like it was like a connection to the Bowling Green thing, but I was there. I was at the job fair. I did the whole thing. And I met Kylie. It was like just starting his career there too. So back then I met him through, Jeff Collette is a fantasy baseball guy. Collette.
It's not Ned Colletti.
No, I met him through him. Anyway,
I used to be a big fantasy writer.
I used to do fantasy.
Did you have a home run call?
No. Again, I didn't want to be an announcer. I wasn't ready. I was just trying to get into sports.
A 3-1 pitch.
Yeah. All right. Rein it in, big dog. Yeah. The amount of outrageousness. This is rudeness from a teammate. I mean, you know, it's all right.
What do you mean?
It's all right. I'd rip you, but you can't take it. So it's okay. No. Jag is the ultimate dish if you can't take it.
We're just all having fun.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless it's about me.
Unless it's about you, and then it's not fun anymore.
Not fun at all. You're getting threats.
I know what it's like, buddy. I know what it's like.
Thank you.
I could take it. I have no problem with it. Yeah, that's good.
You have a high-pitched voice. I don't know if you ever heard that
Thank
before.
You. Yes. You got anything else?
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm good.
Good. That's it. It's great. What a good way to end the pod.
It was positive.
Yeah, it was good. Good talk. He's rich.
You should do next time. Work on your home run call.
Oh yeah, it's okay. I'll think about it. I'll consider it. All right, are we done? We out of here.
Yeah.
Good. He's Fritz Seltzer.